Welcome to the Freddy Tong Podcast. I am Freddy Tong, and I created this podcast to share with all of you all of the crazy, stupid things that I've done trying to grow up and trying to find love. So to all those people out there who feel like love and adulting is really freaking difficult, well, you're not alone, because I'm Freddy Tong, and I'm going to share with you my story. This is just a quick disclaimer to say that because this is based upon a true story, all names have been changed to preserve everyone's identities. This story is about my first attempt of climbing Mount Fuji. Like every young adult, I used to believe that I was invincible. There's nothing that I couldn't conquer. Planning wasn't necessary because life always just seemed to work out. With this kind of mentality, I decided to climb up Mount Fuji with two college friends named Pat and Kinder, and a girl named Becca that I had a huge crush on. One of the many lessons that I learned on this trip was to actually make a plan when you decide to hike up a mountain. So it started off in like July, because in July, Mount Fuji is open for climbing. With this piece of knowledge, my friends and I decided to hike up at night and watch a sunrise in the morning. Although we were figuring out how to get there, after we just drank a little bit of alcohol, we just decided to take a cab to the fifth station and then hike the rest of the way up from there. And we're going to start around like 10 o'clock at night. When we found a taxi, I jumped in the front seat to explain where we wanted to go, and he thought we were crazy. But nonetheless, the taxi driver complied. So my friends in the backseat, they were pretty tired, so they took a nap while I made sure the taxi driver was going the right way to the base of the mountain. But I noticed that the higher we went up the mountain, the darker the road seemed to get. The tall trees raised up on both sides of the roads as the road curved up and around the switchbacks on the mountain. I was starting to get nervous. The wind was blowing so hard that the trees would sway back and forth, creating like a sea of shadows dancing around the taxi's headlights. I thought to myself, it'll be okay. The wind won't be too bad. And if we hike fast enough to get up spec going, we'll be okay. But as we approached the end of the road near the fifth station, I saw two small shadows in the middle of the road off in the distance. And as we started to drive closer and closer, the shadows got larger and larger, and it actually appeared like they were coming straight at us. My adrenaline suddenly kicked in, and I was on alert. What is that? The two shadows approached us so fast that the taxi driver nearly didn't brake in time, and boom, we nearly hit them. There are two backpackers. And if you've ever seen like a scary movie, then you'll know that when you're in the middle of nowhere and you're in a car and someone blocks the road and approaches you, it's basically the cue that you're going to die. And so I was freaking out, and all my friends in the backseat, they were wide awake from the sudden stop. I thought we were going to die. We're freaking out. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. But as stupid as we were, we rolled the windows down and asked the backpackers like, hey, what's going on? The backpackers are warning us, like, saying, don't go up the mountain. It was so crazy. The weather was so bad. And we just had to turn around. And I just kind of, like, nodded and looked at them and said, oh, oh, wow, cool. But I was like, you guys are just weak in my head. So I told the taxi driver just to keep going. And despite the creepy encounter, we survived it. We didn't die. So we just kept on going. Now, when we got to the station, we stepped out of the cab and was blasted by these huge gusts of wind. Wow, it was really cold. But it's okay, I thought. Once we start moving, then I'll warm up and it'll be okay. I was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt because it was summertime. Now, we also forgot to bring flashlights too, but we figured we'd just use the light from the moon and the flashlights from our iPhones to make it up the mountain. It wouldn't be that bad. As we started, though, the first half an hour was actually really, really fun. We were hiking up in the dark. It was dead silent. And we were just playing music, moving quickly, just thinking about how awesome it was going to be when we got to the top. But eventually, we encountered this huge fence blocking the trail. And on the fence were signs saying, "Do not enter," in English and in Japanese. So we stopped for a second. But we didn't stop to debate whether we should enter or not. Rather, foolishly, we stopped to figure out how we're going to go around this fence. Quickly after, though, I found a way through, and our group just kept going up. Now, I'm not superstitious or anything, but I do believe that if you strike twice, and the third one's bound to hit. Unfortunately, though, I didn't realize that the warning from the backpackers was strike one, and the warning from the fence was strike two. Strike three is when everything hit. And that's when, soon enough, it started to rain, and the clouds blocked the moonlight, and it was starting to become really miserable. I was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I was so cold. And I told everyone, though, that we'll be okay because if we just keep hiking, eventually we'll go above the clouds and the rain will just stop. My friends kind of looked at me weird, but they kind of just kept going with me, so I just kept going too. But then, Kinder starts to freak out. So Pat and me turn around and ask what's going on. And it turned out that Kinder dropped his cell phone on the mountain, and he couldn't figure out where it was. So I told Pat and Becca to keep going, and I took Kinder with me to try to go find his cell phone. But we had no real flashlight, and it was raining really hard, and it was just really miserable. It was like looking for meat at a vegetarian restaurant. We're just not going to find it. We're in the middle. It was lost somewhere on the mountain. We were screwed. So after about 30 minutes of hiking down the mountain, Kinder just gives up. And I comfort him saying, "Don't worry, we'll find the way back down." But in my head, I was like, we're so screwed. So at this point in time, though, we hurry and we catch up to Pat and Becca. And as we continue to hike, the rain just gets harder and harder and harder. And I was shivering uncontrollably, soaked in my t-shirt and shorts. God, I was so cold. Refusing to quit, though, we just kept moving up on the mountain. I kept telling myself that if we just keep hiking high enough, eventually we'll be above the clouds. We gotta be close eventually. But as we just kept hiking, the wind just kept picking up. And the wind was blowing so hard that it got to a point where Kinder had to help put stones and rocks in Becca's backpack so she wouldn't be blown off the mountain. And Pat and me were holding onto the railing for dear life. It was cold. The rain felt like hail. The wind was coming in all different directions. It was really depressing. Eventually, though, Pat said we should just take a break and try to wait out the storm. I really wanted to get up to the summit so I could watch a sunrise, but everyone looked like they were pretty tired, and I reluctantly agreed that we should just stop. So we stopped and looked around, and we eventually found a small nook on the side of the mountain to hide from the storm. Now, this nook was between two small buildings that were locked, and the wind kept going through as if it was a wind tunnel, and the rain just kept going over the roofs and leaking on top of us. But we really didn't have much of a choice because it was like the best place we could find that was nearby. And our plan was we're just going to wait it out and wait for the storm to stop. And we'll just skip the sunrise, but at least we can still make it keep going up the mountain if we just waited long enough. But it was so cold. The cold was seeping into the bones of all of us. And we were cuddling together and we realized this might be our last night ever. So we dramatically made a video message to all of our parents, and we just survived the night. And it was probably the longest night of our lives, which only lasted for like 4 more hours of just shivering in misery with rain falling on us. And it just kept going on and on till around 7 or 8 a.m. when Becca realized that she had cell phone service. And she looked at the weather forecast, and it said it'd be raining on Mount Fuji all day. So, defeated and depressed, we decided that we should just go down the mountain. Hiking down the mountain, though, we hiked in silence. We reflected on, despite how great mankind has become, we were still humbled by nature's awe. It was so cold, and no matter how strong we just weren't strong enough to make it up the mountain. On the way down, we actually found Kinder's phone on the trail, and that actually made us really happy. And we were shouting for joy. Morale was a lot better, despite the miserable rain. But when we finally got to the bottom of the mountain, we saw a taxi just waiting at the bottom. It was, like, ridiculous how happy we were. And we were so excited, we started to run towards the taxi. And then Kinder screams, "Hallelujah!" At that moment, though, when he's screaming at the top of his lungs, off in the distance, we see a small window open from a random building below us. And all I could see was two eyes and white teeth come out of the shadows yelling, "Hey, that's our cab. Get your own." Disappointed, we realized that we couldn't take that cab. So we tried calling other cabs for help, but we were unable to do so. So it was just really miserable. We're at the bottom of the mountain with no way to get to the nearest train or anywhere. and it was just raining. Our clothes were wet. It was just really, really, really miserable. Eventually, though, when we thought all hope was lost, we found some old Japanese woman who happened to have a restaurant nearby, and they just opened it up for us to let us dry our clothes out, and they even called a cab for us. It was such a humbling experience, and we were so grateful for their politeness and niceness, even though they couldn't speak any English, but they could tell that we were dying. So we were really grateful for them. Turns out, though, that Mount Fuji does open in July, but it's only open on one side of the mountain, so you probably already guessed we attempted to hike up the wrong side of the mountain. We learned a valuable lesson that day, and if it's like, if there's a do not enter sign posted, then you probably should consider the reasoning of why it's there before you completely just blow it off. And I also learned specifically to check the weather forecast before I pretty much go anywhere. And that's the story of why do not enter signs might actually mean something. Learn by nearly dying on Mount Fuji. I want to say that I appreciate all the feedback that everyone has given to me so far in the podcast, and I'm working to make each episode better and better than the previous ones. So thank you once again. I also received a really cool question from a guy named Arc LeGrew, and he asked, "Freddie, you have some interesting principles. Currently, I'm thinking about taking my friend on a date and was wondering if I should buy her flowers. What do you think?" So, yeah, this isn't really a dating hotline, but I appreciate your question. When it comes to flowers, well, I would just say it depends on the lady. So, what kind of impression are you trying to leave on her? I'd recommend that you never buy flowers on the first date because you really don't know if you're going to actually like her when you get to know her better. But I would say you should save it for when you want to show her what you actually think about her. Like, you're trying to say that she's more special than any other woman in your life, or you want to be exclusive with her. So save it for date 3 or something later like that. Good luck, Arc LeGrew. And if anyone else has any other questions about anything, feel free to put in the comments and I'll try to answer in the future podcasts. Hey everyone, thank you for listening to my podcast. If you like the story, then please comment or subscribe to hear the latest, craziest stories of the stupid things that we do trying to grow up and trying to find love. This is Freddie Tong. Keep it loose, Moose.